Good morning. Welcome into the presence of the Lord. For those of you who are here with us physically in the building, and for those of you who are joining us online, we are so glad that you can be part of our worship experience this morning, and also as we look into the Word of God and go further into what we've started in our series these last couple of weeks. We've been looking into the message of Jesus from Matthew chapter 5 onwards, which is called the Sermon on the Mount. And when we look at these teachings of Jesus, we see that they are very significant to our lives as followers of Jesus, because they help us understand what it is to be a citizen of the kingdom of heaven, what it is the kingdom of heaven is like, and how we should live out our lives as its citizens. In fact, what we have learned in the last few weeks is also how we should respond to the teachings of Jesus, and what impact it should have in our lives. In fact, we've learned that the image of our King, Jesus, should be imprinted in our lives. In other words, we need to exemplify the life, the character, and the nature of Christ in our lives as we live out this citizenship. In the last few weeks, we've seen that as kingdom citizens, we carry an eternal purpose to influence our environment. We are to permeate the attributes of God, the nature of God, the love of God, not only in our areas, in our personal lives, but also in our environment, so that the glory of God can be revealed all around us through our response in our lives. As citizens, we are called to represent Christ. We are to be His ambassadors. We are to live our lives in such a way that it represents the interests of the kingdom of God. We also learned that God is busy in the process of working in our lives internally. He is completing the internal work in our lives so that we can externally reflect the glory and the presence of God. We saw that the transformation process of a kingdom citizen changes the way we feel, the way we think, the way we speak and react to others. We become a people who project the nature of God. When we become citizens of the kingdom of heaven, our perspectives change. The perspectives that we have for our lives, for others, and the world around us must be realigned to what it truly means to be a child of God and a citizen of the kingdom of heaven. In fact, when we read from Matthew 5, we see Jesus making reference to the law. And when he spoke about the law, he said that he did not come to do away or abolish the law, but to fulfill the law so that we as his citizens can have a clearer perspective of what it is to be in the kingdom of God. When we read Jesus' words about the law, basically what he was saying is that the law came with a certain standard, and what people were doing in his days, they distorted the way they were carrying out the instructions of the law. The law was there to give a picture or to project what was to come, and this was seen in the life of Jesus. In fact, what Jesus was saying is that the kingdom of heaven is at a better, greater, and a far more beneficial standard than what the law could give. In fact, when we read it, we see that the kingdom of heaven is at a higher standard, and sometimes we wonder, how can we as humans match up or measure up to the standard of the kingdom of heaven, which was much greater than what the law required? And when we read through, we realize that it is only possible when we are in intimate relationship with God. So today we are going to delve further into the kingdom of heaven, and we're going to look at what it is for us as followers of Jesus. We are going to talk about our priorities that we need to have in the kingdom of God. I'm sure many of us in our childhood, and some of us still today who have children, we play games. You may have played the game Treasure Hunt or the game Hide and Go Seek. And, you know, some people may think, you know, the hiding is the fun part. But I think it's the seeking that is the thrill in the game. Because you are sure that at the end of the game, you are either going to find something that you are going to be rewarded with, as in a treasure, or you are going to find the place that the person is hiding in. And that's the thrill of the game. So in life, we don't play games. Life is real. But we chase after things in life. As a citizen of the kingdom of God, what should we be seeking after or chasing after? Is it wealth? Is it riches? Is it possessions? Is it a good reputation? Is it success in business? Is it love that some of you may be pursuing or chasing after? Is it acceptance or is it approval of other people? What should we be seeking after as citizens of the kingdom of heaven? When we look at Matthew chapter 6, we see that Jesus shows us in this portion of his sermon the answer. In Matthew chapter 6, verses 33, we read, "But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well." We see in this text that Jesus epitomizes the attitude that we as followers of God should have. We see this word seek in Matthew chapter 6. Seek first the kingdom of God. It's not a passive act. It is something that we do continuously. It is something that we do with a passion. It is something that we do without stopping and without failing. There is so much to experience in the kingdom of God that it is not a one-time act, but it is one that we need to be constantly chasing after, the kingdom of God. And today we're going to see that as kingdom citizens, we chase after and prioritize the eternal God. Now that may sound simple enough, but we need to read this passage of scripture in the context of Matthew chapter 6. And then we need to ask ourselves the question, what am I chasing and what am I prioritizing in my life? In Matthew chapter 6, verses 1 to 2, we read, "Be careful not to practice your righteousness in front of others to be seen by them. If you do, you will have no reward from your Father in heaven. So when you give to the needy, do not announce it with trumpets as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and on the streets to be honored by others. Truly I tell you, they have received their reward in full." Matthew chapter 6 verses 5, "And when you pray, do not be like the hypocrites, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and on the street corners to be seen by others. Truly, I tell you, they have received their reward in full." In Matthew chapter 6, verse 16, we read, "When you fast, do not look somber as the hypocrites do, for they disfigure their face to show others they are fasting. Truly, I tell you, they have received their reward in full." We see in these passages of scripture that Jesus is addressing the areas of one's spiritual life where the people of his day were getting it wrong. When we read the first verse of chapter 6, we see that Jesus says, "Be careful not to practice your righteousness to be seen by others." Another translation says, "To be admired by others." Because the religious leaders to whom Jesus was speaking this of his day were prioritizing the praise of people above the admiration and approval of God. They were doing so with the wrong motive. Their giving, their praying, their fasting was so that they could receive the admiration of people. We see a pattern that Jesus is presenting here on the life of people who were not following after the kingdom of heaven. And that is one that seeks accolade and praise, that is earthly and that is temporary. And when we read these passages of Scripture, Jesus repeats, to be seen by others, to be honored by others. In other words, these people had got it wrong because they were seeking approval for themselves rather than from God. Whatever they were doing was not unto the Lord. For if we do things that is unto the Lord, it does not matter whether we get recognition from people or not, because our heart is connected to the one who would give us his approval. So that is what Jesus was presenting in this scenario. Jesus says in each of these areas, they had received their reward. And their reward was the praise of people. So when we live our lives and when we do things for the kingdom of God, and are we seeking the approval of people and receive the approval of people, what the Bible teaches us is that we will not receive a reward from God, because we have already received our reward through the praises of people. So we see that as a kingdom citizen, we need to practice self-awareness and check our motives. We need to understand in this passage of Scripture that Jesus was not advocating for the abandonment of corporate giving or corporate prayer or corporate fasting. Neither is he saying that these things should not be done in the presence of others. These are necessary and important. We do gather together as a church to pray together, to fast together, to give to a cause. Jesus is not specifically saying that these things are bad, but in the context in which he was speaking, he is talking about one's personal relationship with God, and we need to have our motives and our attitudes in check. What Jesus is saying is that in the practice of these spiritual disciplines, such as giving, such as praying, such as fasting, and these are just three among many spiritual disciplines that we as children of God need to have in our lives, he says that we must check our motivation and our actions. We do not do these things to receive the admiration and praise from people. For when we see what the religious people were doing in Jesus' day, we learn that their priorities were skewed and were not aligned with what God wanted. And then Jesus goes on to show us what our priorities should be. When we read in the same passage of Scripture, Matthew chapter 6, verses 3 to 4, but when you give to the needy, do not let your left hand know what your right hand is doing, so that your giving may be in secret. Then your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you. In Matthew chapter 6, verses number 6, but when you pray, go into your room, close the door, and pray to your Father who is unseen. Then your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you. In Matthew chapter 6, verse 17 to 18, but when you fast, put oil on your head and wash your face so that it will not be obvious to others that you are fasting, but only to your Father who is unseen. And your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you. When we read the scriptures together, we look at this contrast that is presented here by Jesus. And we see that Jesus teaches us that we need to prioritize the private presence of the eternal God over the temporary praise of people. In our spiritual disciplines that reflect our relationship with God, Jesus is calling us to a life that was opposite to what the religious leaders were practicing in their day. And that was, we need to come to a life that is opposite of seeking earthly satisfaction and rewards, but one that is drawn from an intimate and a close relationship between God and us. When he speaks about doing this in secret, he is referring to the condition of our heart. It is a pointer to an intimate and personal relationship that allows us to do what is expected of us as kingdom citizens with the right motive. We saw that the religious leaders of Jesus' day sought after the self-gratifying nature of people's praise. And Jesus teaches us that citizens of the kingdom, we should not seek after temporary praise, but we need to pursue the approval of an eternal God with a passion and determination. There are three things here that Jesus mentions: giving, prayer, and fasting, that were distinct contrast to how it was practiced in his day. He mentions these things and it reflects our responsibility to God. These spiritual disciplines reflect our responsibility that we have to God in our relationship with him. And not only that, the spiritual disciplines go with that responsibility and the attitude that goes with those responsibilities. It reflects the depth of our love for God. What is our priority today? Is it God's approval, or is it his admiration, or is it the approval from people? Why is God's approval and the admiration that we receive from him so important? Because it is only through connection with an eternal God that we can find approval and praise in our lives. No matter the extent of our giving, no matter the extent of our fasting and our praying, when we do so with a humility in our heart, not seeking anything for ourselves, then we position ourselves, we align ourselves to find fulfillment in the approval and the praise and admiration from God. Because no matter how much we give, we will never receive enough approval from people. No matter how eloquent prayers that we may pray, or how many spiritual acts we can perform, we will never receive the approval that really counts. We need to ask ourselves the question, whose admiration and approval are we looking to gain? Do we prioritize the presence of God, the secret place of God, a place where God sees us with our attitudes, where we are bare before him? He knows our motives. He knows our heart. That is the secret place that we need to be in to seek to find God's approval and admiration. As kingdom citizens, when we prioritize our private life with our Creator, a righteous reputation will follow. One that is anchored in our God and not in ourselves. The things that we do for the kingdom of God, as citizens of the kingdom of God, emanates from this anchor that we have in our relationship with God, not in the things that the world seeks. As we continue reading Matthew chapter 6, we see Jesus showing us another area where we need to seek him and prioritize him. In Matthew chapter 6, verses 19 to 20, we read, "Do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moths and vermin destroy, and where thieves break in and steal. But store up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where moth and vermin do not destroy, and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also." In verses 31 of Matthew 6, we read, "So do not worry, saying, 'What shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear?' For the pagans run after all these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them." What we find here is that as kingdom citizens, we must prioritize trust over worry. Jesus explains to us that it is not simply as kingdom citizens that we should not store up resources here on earth, because these resources are temporary and they will fade away, but rather we should store up treasures that are in heaven. And here again we see this parallel that Jesus gives, between what is earthly and what is heavenly. When we read earlier, we read that the religious people were seeking praise from people rather than the admiration from God. And here in this text, he is encouraging us to seek things that are heavenly in terms of treasure than earthly possessions. Jesus makes a direct correlation between what we treasure and worry. Although he uses these examples of everyday life, what shall we eat and what shall we drink and where shall we live and what clothes shall we wear? These are everyday examples, but the focus of Jesus' message here is that we as kingdom citizens should not be controlled by our anxieties. I mean, we are living in some strange times, perilous times, turbulent times, where things are not normal. Things are not the way we used to do it. Things seem to be out of control. And a lot of us sitting in this room, those of you who are watching online, we have experienced anxiety upon anxiety because it is the natural human tendency when there's disruptions in our lives that the first thing we lean onto is anxiousness, worry. We try to figure out what's going to happen to our jobs, what's going to happen to our kids' schooling, what's going to happen to the economy, am I able to pay the bills at the end of the month? I am anxious about going out because I am concerned about my health. Am I going to, you know, expose myself to something that I don't need to? So these are all anxious things that we are experiencing in our time. And Jesus is saying that, yes, there are real situations, there are real problems that people experience, and we are experiencing real problems because we are in a real world. But what he is saying that is, although these are real issues that we face, we must not let anxiety define who we are. Because the more we worry, the more it defines our life, and it pushes us away from who God wants us to be and who he wants us to trust in. You see, it's so easy to get caught up chasing after things, chasing after possessions, chasing after wealth. Jesus wasn't saying that having stuff is bad. You know, having stuff is good. It's good to have stuff. So that's not the message that Jesus is projecting to us today. He isn't saying that having stuff is bad. It's a complete different scenario when the stuff has us, that we are pursuing after stuff that we want to accumulate rather than the kingdom of God. We get so consumed by what we don't have and what we want to have that it causes us to be filled with anxiety and stress. And this goes beyond just having stuff. It goes also to the very heart of our life, the things that we face in our life. We get so consumed with life that we sometimes forget that the God we serve is more than just our Creator. He is more than just God. He is our Father who wants us to put our trust in Him. And why do we say that? Because when we read Matthew chapter 6, we see the emphasis of Jesus here in bringing us to understand the relationship that God wants to have with us. In fact, when we read chapter 6 of Matthew, there are 11 times where Jesus makes reference to your heavenly Father or our heavenly Father. Your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you. Your Father knows what it is, what you need. When you pray, you must pray, our Father in heaven. The emphasis that Jesus is bringing us to is that we must understand as kingdom citizens that God is not only our Creator, He is not only our God, but He is a loving heavenly Father. Just as He can take care of the flowers of the field, the birds of the air, how much more does He take care of us when we put our trust in Him? We are His creation, and He will take care of our needs. In Romans chapter 14, we learn that the kingdom of heaven, the kingdom of God, is righteousness, peace, and joy. So no matter what we face in life, when we are defined by our citizenship of God's kingdom, when we are defined by our relationship that we have with God, that we can talk to God, that we can speak to God how we feel, God knows us, we cannot hide anything from Him. When we are in that position in our relationship with God, we know that even in this world that we face trouble, the world that we face sin, the world we're exposed to all different kinds of things, that we can rise above these things as kingdom citizens. We can do righteous acts in a sinful world. We can experience peace in times of trouble. We can have joy in times of despair. So let us ask ourselves some important questions today. What am I seeking? What am I pursuing or chasing after? Where am I storing my treasures? How do I start storing treasures in heaven rather than accumulating it here on the earth? What is my generosity level? How generous am I as a child of God? Am I exemplifying the heart of my Father? Is the imprint of my King in my life? Am I carrying out God's purposes through His nature and character in my life? Am I walking in trust more than worry? We saw in Matthew chapter 6, verses 33, Jesus says, seek first the kingdom of God and seek His righteousness. And all these things that we sometimes put in our effort in, Jesus says, these things will be added to your life when we put God first. Am I pursuing, am I running after the kingdom of God with a passion? Am I trusting God? If not, I can start today. What are my priorities? Am I looking for the praise of people when I do things? Or am I doing things because I find myself in the private presence of God where God shows me what to do and how to do it? And when I respond obediently to the voice of God in that secret place and my actions are externally seen, then I am in the place where God wants me to be because I am seeking His approval. I can determine to seek God's approval today rather than people. What am I anxious about? The present crisis and the anxieties that we face, is that defining who we are? Or is my position in the kingdom of God as His child defining who I am? I can choose today to find peace and joy because I choose God's kingdom even though I live in this present world, with the fullness of all that it offers me, trouble and no trouble, I can find myself in God's presence and experience the peace of God. These are questions that we need to ponder over, meditate over, and ask ourselves if we are truly living out the kingdom of heaven in our lives. Today, God is calling us to a much deeper relationship with Him so that we experience the reward that He gives us and we bring glory to His name. No matter what we face, no matter what we go through, God says He will never leave us. He is our Father who will not abandon us. He is a God who will be with us through trouble or no trouble, through wonderful experiences, through bad experiences, our Father is with us. Would you stand with me today as we consider these words, as we look into what Jesus is teaching us today? Maybe you are at a place where your priorities have shifted a little bit. Today is a day we can realign ourselves to finding ourselves in the secret place of God, so that our spiritual disciplines, whether it's praying, whether it's fasting, whether it's giving, whether it's meditating on the Word, whether it's just allowing the Spirit of God just to fill you every day, the time that we spend with God, our Heavenly Father, that secret moments with God that brings joy, that brings peace, even though there is trouble all around us. Maybe today we are filled with anxiety because we don't know what tomorrow may bring. With everything that is going around us, anxiety seems to take control of our lives. But God is calling us to not let anxiety define who we are, but to allow His presence to define who we are, so that when we put our trust in Him, that He is able to lift us up, no matter how big or small the worries may be. God knows where we are at. God knows where you are at. Maybe you are here, maybe you are watching online, and you have been struggling with this. You've tried to work things out yourself. You tried to do things yourself. God is saying, "My child, I am your Father. Put your trust, put your hope in Me." Because when we lean on God, when we pursue Him, when we pursue the kingdom of God, He will drive out all anxiety and fear. Maybe you are watching and you have not experienced this relationship with a Father that is our God. You have not personally experienced this. You do not know what it is to have a relationship with God that goes beyond just religious observances and religious duties and ticking off religious acts. Because God is calling us to a deeper relationship with Him, one that gives us hope of eternal life, one that gives us a future in Him. Maybe you have not experienced this, and you can experience it today when you open your life and receive Jesus into your life. Our approval and our righteousness comes from one source, and that is faith in Jesus. The Bible teaches us in Romans chapter 3, verses 22, that the righteousness is given through faith in Jesus to all who believe. Today, you can experience that righteousness when you respond to the Spirit of God prompting your heart to receive Jesus. Father, I pray for each and every one of us that is here in this building, for those that are watching online. Lord, may these words that You have given us, as we have seen in Matthew chapter 6, Lord, may it resonate in our lives so real to know, Lord, that what You are calling us to is a relationship with You as citizens of the kingdom, so that we live a life that is pleasing and holy to You, that our priorities will be in check with the will of God, that we will align ourselves, Lord, to what You want for our lives and what You want for others. I pray, Lord, for those of us who are living anxiously in these times, that You will begin to lift our spirits, Lord, that we will begin to experience peace. We will begin to experience hope and joy in You, O Lord. That no matter what happens around us, Lord, that our faith can be anchored in You, and that we can experience joy, so that when we experience joy, that we will influence our environment, Lord, with the joy of God. Today, Lord, I pray that you will bless us. Lord, that you will make your face shine upon us. Lord, that we will walk in peace, that we will walk in the blessings of God, that we will walk, Lord, in your perfect will for our lives. Lord, for those that are searching and seeking after, I pray, Lord, that they will experience an encounter with you, Lord Jesus. Holy Spirit, just reach out to whoever it may be. Let them experience this encounter. Have this encounter with you, Lord Jesus. They may know that you are real. That they may know that you, Lord, have given us eternal life. They may know that we can have access to our Heavenly Father because of what you have done on the cross, Lord Jesus. We pray salvation. We pray hope. We pray blessings, Father, in the name of Jesus. Amen.